The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show, and the conversation continues, talking college football as we get set. It's hard to believe spring practice already underway. TCU starts on Friday, and Jason Peter now joining us with our Under the Helmet segment. And I understand, Jason, we always seem to start off by talking about the weather. You guys still have snow up there? It's like 75 degrees down here in Fort Worth.
Oh, I'm jealous. I am jealous. I was just outside with the little one running around, chasing her a little bit, and, you know, it's like a magnet, right, to everything you don't want her to touch, the mud, the puddles, and there's still a bunch of snow on the ground, but it's warming up a little bit, so hopefully that will all melt out.
Well, the good news is, let's talk about how your Nebraska Cornhuskers, how those guys did at the combines. I understand that they gave some pretty impressive performances and showings, is that correct?
A few guys that stuck out. Obviously, the headliner, and we talked about this last time, is Prince Amukamara, a cornerback who was a consensus All-American this past year. And, you know, what you hear, I guess, as to what some of these guys run, sometimes it varies. I remember going through this process, and, you know, one publication has you running at, 4.9, and the other one has you at 4.7, but somewhere in between is usually pretty safe. And with Prince, it's come back that he ran in the high 4.3s, I think around 4.37.
Really?
Something like that. And that was, for him, it was a big deal. It was a big showing down there. There's the other cornerback from LSU, Peterson, I believe his first name, Patrick Peterson. And there was kind of this... not a competition, but, you know, you're fighting to be that first corner taken, and both of them show up on game film, so lots of times it does come down to a combine workout. Problem is, Patrick Peterson is about an inch or two taller than Prince, and he's about 10 or 15 pounds heavier, and 99% sure he ran in the low 4.3s. He ended up being faster than Prince, so I don't know if Prince will be able to take that higher draft position from him, but still a great performance. I think he ended up vertical jumping about 38 inches, and it was solid. But a couple other guys performed well. Dejon Gomes, who's going to be a safety in the NFL, he ran in the mid-4.4s. Eric Hag, who was kind of a utility player, at Nebraska, playing a little linebacker, a little safety, some nickel. He ran somewhere in the 4.6s, but without a doubt, Prince Amukamara is the guy that will be the highest draft pick come draft day.
What about Roy Helu Jr.? I understand that he was pretty strong in some of those drills.
Yeah, I actually forgot about old Roy. Yeah, he ran well, too. I think he ran somewhere in the 4.4s. The problem with Roy is that he's kind of been bitten by the injury bug since he's been here at Nebraska. Bo Pelini and the staff, they tried to limit the amount of carries he had this year. They wanted him for the stretch of the season, you know, past that seventh and eighth game, heading into bowl season. And even at that, with limiting the amount of carries that he had, he still somehow or another found a way to get dinged up. And when you're a running back going into the NFL, you know, that's one thing that probably is at the top of the list when NFL teams are evaluating college talent. Is he a guy who can get through a full season? Because you're taking shot after shot after shot. And, you know, now you don't have the linebacker who played, you know, 2 years of college football, and he's going to go on to, you know, find a normal 9-to-5 job. Now you've got Ray Lewis who's coming across and hitting you, and you have guys like James Harrison and, you know, some of these great defensive players that trust me. I mean, when they hit you, it hurts more than when the college kid hit you. So, you know, I think they're always looking for longevity in a running back, and longevity means, you know, four or five good solid years. Not many guys get past the age of 30, or when you do, there's almost this notion out there that guys can't produce after they turn 30 years old at the running back position in the NFL, which obviously every once in a while there's a guy that, goes against all odds. But I think in general that's something that most NFL people look at.
You're listening to the voice of Jason Peter. It is our Under the Helmet segment. We're breaking down a number of topics and subjects. Up first, though, we're talking some college football. And I have to tell you, I saw online, I'm always scouring the news, and I saw the 2011, the Combine Fallers. And I just have to wonder, kind of going through the list. I mean, that's just someone's, opinion. But how accurate is that? I mean, anybody can have an off week, going to the Combine. You don't perhaps perform your best. But is that truly a real indicator of how good you are and what you can do on the field?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I mean, everyone's talking about one guy in particular who is right down there in your guys' hometown, and that's Andy Dalton, the quarterback. People are coming away from the combine saying he hurt himself and he didn't have a great performance. I could care less, honestly, when it comes to a quarterback. Obviously, you don't want a guy that's going to go out and run a 7.4 40. You want a guy who obviously has some athleticism, and I think Andy Dalton certainly has proven that.
Yes.
How many times is a quarterback going to get in a three-point stance and run a 40-yard dash? The kid is a proven winner. There's so many intangibles that when you're talking about performing at this combine. I mean, he's throwing in an empty stadium. There's nobody there. He's throwing to receivers that he's not used to throwing to. There are so many different things that I think play into how well a guy tests out, but so many of those things are irrelevant when it comes to can he win on Sunday. And that's all Andy Dalton's done. I mean, these NFL people, they claim to be, so smart, and the guy who might go down as the greatest quarterback to have ever played the game in the NFL was a sixth-round draft pick, and I'm talking about Tom Brady. Nobody thought this is the guy that's going to take our franchise to the next level. I don't care what even the New England people say. Obviously, somebody in that draft room thought something of Tom Brady in order for them to take him, and that's all you need. And basically, with Andy Dalton, that's all you need, too. You need one person to like you, and you'll end up somewhere, and then from there, it's up to you. Obviously, it's about executing, but for me, I don't need a guy who's going to be all pro on Tuesday and Wednesday. If he's all pro on Sunday, that's the most important thing. And I'm pretty sure that Andy Dalton, he'll do just fine. Somebody will take a shot on him, and he'll. He'll have a successful NFL career. I'm not worried about that.
He certainly is a proven winner when we talk about Andy Dalton. Hey, let's move ahead here. With the NFL being in such disarray right now, you have to wonder about some of these newcomers, these guys that are getting ready and set for the NFL draft. What do you think that's going through their minds right now as they prepare? I mean, what's this NFL lockout? Are they thinking, what's this going to do to me in my career?
Yeah, I'm sure a bunch of them are thinking that, wow, maybe I should, especially the guys who came out early, maybe I should have waited until next year. There's got to be some nerves there because right now it looks like there definitely will be a lockout. But these guys they honestly they don't need to be worried about that right now. I mean, a lot of them have just finished in their home from the combine. Well, now they have their pro days that will be coming up here this month, and those are important. Andy Dalton. TCU, they'll have a pro day where not only the kids that went to the combine, but some other seniors and guys that want to give the NFL a shot, they'll get an opportunity to work out. And this is where myself and Grant Wistrom, this is where we worked out. We didn't work out at the combine. We went to the combine and we met with the doctors and did all that, but we didn't work out until our pro day. And, one thing Grant and I like to at least still take claim to around here, that it's the biggest pro day that they ever had. And maybe part of it was because we didn't give them anything when we went to the combine. But, you know, out of the 30-some NFL teams that are in the league, I think there was probably about 20 or 25 head coaches that came with, you know, their entire staffs, and it was quite a spectacle. But you know, that's another opportunity for these kids to show themselves, and you know, he'll get a chance, Andy Dalton, to throw to his receivers, and he'll be in a comfortable atmosphere. You know, the turf, whatever you know, ground that they end up testing on, or running routes on and throwing balls, that stuff that he'll be used to. Not just, you know, you fly out to Indianapolis and then you're running on this AstroTurf or this field turf that you've never been on before, and now, you know what, your entire career or where you get drafted kind of depends on something as small as that, but as important as that. So, you know, that's what these guys will hopefully be focusing on, not really, you know, where this NFL lockout thing is at. But ultimately, you know, I mean, they live in the reality where they're going into the NFL, and it's not a good thing if the NFL is locked out. It means that, you know, they'll certainly still get drafted, but the owners will own the rights to them, but they're not going to get paid, bottom line.
Jason Peter with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. And I guess where I struggle with is just, you know, you hear both sides and what they are fighting out and what this could potentially mean. But, you know, I think about just where we are right now as a nation, and everyone is struggling, and where all these cuts that are being made, and these guys are, you know, squabbling about, you know, just a few million dollars or billion dollars. It's just crazy.
It really is. And, you know, like exactly what you said, you know, this country's been in a recession for, you know, the past 2-3 years, and some people would say longer than that. The NFL still had an increase in 2010 of 9% in total revenue. I don't think there's a lot of businesses out there that could say that. But, you know, for me, I mean, they're on their 10th day of getting together with a mediator, and still no success. But the thing that bothers me is, how could you really go into an honest negotiation when none of the owners, other than the Green Bay Packers, which is a publicly owned franchise, none of the other owners are willing to open up their books to the NFL, to the mediators, to know what exactly is going on? They're claiming that, you know, we have all these losses and you know, we're not making enough money. Show us then. Show us how bad you've got it. I mean, how do you expect to know where you want to go if we don't know where to start? And, you know, that's the problem. The reality is that I know there would be a bunch of them that end up showing gigantic profits, except they're probably the smaller market teams, the smaller market teams that aren't successful, you know, the Buffalo Bills, the Cincinnati Bengals. They're the ones that may show, you know, some losses there, but I highly doubt that Jerry Jones and Dallas Cowboys are going to show major losses, that he walked away from 2010 without making any money. I just find that highly unrealistic. But, you know, that's one of the things. I mean, the NFL, the Players Association, it looks like they're going to decertify themselves as a way of extending this thing or keeping, I guess, the lockout from happening. If they're not a certified union, the Players Association, then the NFL can't lock out the players. And ultimately, it's a cat and mouse game. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on I don't even have the knowledge to talk to about. But, you know, that's the one glaring thing, I think, for me that's so frustrating. And it's something that does affect me because I'm a retired player, and there are benefits involved, health benefits. And so whether it's guys that are actively in the NFL or guys where their days are over, it affects all of us.
Well, you have to think, what are the long-term effects? And, you know, fans will only be loyal so long, and you'd have to think that all of this happenings, that it's going to leave a bad taste in their mouth. But, Jason, we're over time, so we've got to cut it short this week. But we certainly appreciate you coming on, and we look forward to you joining us next weekend. That's because we also have a very special guest that'll be in the house. You hooked us up with Larry the Cable Guy. We're looking forward to this exclusive interview.
Great guy. It's going to be a great interview, I'm sure.
And we certainly look forward to your celebrity golf tournament coming up in the month of October, and we will be talking more about that as the months go on. So, Jason, thanks so much. Stay warm, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me.